Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. The Reverend Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from James chapter 3. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. But where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make it. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So James, in this chapter thus far, has spent the first half teaching about the tongue. It's like a rudder of a ship directed by the pilot. It's dangerous like a fire that can set a forest ablaze, leaving desolation in its path. And unlike animals, which man has tamed, humans cannot tame their tongue. And now James moves to the heart. The tongue, which is a restless evil full of deadly poison, with it we bless our Lord and Father, with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Now he shifts to the heart. From the tongue to the heart. The heart is to be a place, or the place, or the seat of wisdom, where faith is, where it dwells. Holy Spirit-given faith dwells there, and that is where then true wisdom also resides. Then, in order to express itself by means of the tongue, so a new heart then bursts forth in song, as we just did, but also in words that build up and edify. And so James lets the thought of wisdom dominate this admonition that we just heard in Scripture. Not speaking about its presence or its absence, that is, whether one is wise or not, but rather speaks of two kinds of wisdom, one from above and one from below, or earthly, unspiritual, even demonic. And just as Paul uses the language of a new man or a new Adam, the old man, the old Adam, so James speaks of two kinds of wisdom. One is from above, and the other from below, or earthly. And so the question, which actually comes in the verse omitted, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Who is wise? Is anyone here wise and understanding? James is directing that to the church, to us, to our life together in Christ. Are you wise and understanding? It's a question that he would have us ask ourselves in reflection. What kind of wisdom do you have? Is it from above or is it from below? Do I lack wisdom, the wisdom that God desires? Do I claim to be wise? And so where then, dear Christian, is our source of wisdom? From above or from below? Wisdom from above, or heavenly, as we heard already, but I'll say it again. Wisdom that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I can almost hear 1 Corinthians 13 echoing in my ears about love is what it's like and how we live it out. But what is true wisdom? Pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. It's orderly. It shows good fruits. It's impartial. It's sincere. And what results then? A harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Such wisdom bears good fruit. It builds up. It edifies. It sows peace and harmony because it's moved by the love and mercy of God in Christ, and it's done in humility. Earthly wisdom, on the other hand, is very much the opposite. It's jealous. It's full of selfish ambition. There will be disorder, discord, and every kind of vile practice. Such wisdom brings strife. Brings strife to the congregation and brings strife to wherever it goes. It's much like the tongue that can set a forest ablaze with only a word. So we're to examine and note, well, what kind of wisdom do we have or strive for as Christians? Amongst our fellow Christians, what kind of wisdom do we have? Is it from above or from below? And where we are lacking such wisdom, a wisdom that certainly we cannot obtain on our own, James, back in chapter 1, says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to them. True wisdom has a beginning, though. It's not in me, it's not in you, it's in Christ alone. The touchstone is to be applied, that is to be applied, is wisdom's meekness. Meekness, lowliness, one might even say humility, is one of the great qualities which wisdom produces, and it comes through faith in Christ and the new life that he gives us through the Spirit. There are other qualities as well, of course, that James would present to us. He singles out meekness. He singles out lowliness in our relationship to our fellow Christians and others. It's a lowly attitude of the heart, which is full of gentleness and mildness toward others. It's opposite the arrogant assertion and the ruthless domination that flows from wisdom from below. So the question, are you wise? Let us examine our heart. How often we hear another voice in the world, we might even hear it in the church, we might hear it in many places. What drives you? Is it jealousy? Is it selfish ambition? After all, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You have to strive after what you get. House, car, land, dream, vacation, perfect kids, right school, perfect job, spouse, and any other thing that we might fill along the list. Sometimes that flows into the church. Jealousy, selfish ambition bleeds over into the church. It's not pleasant when it does. If we're honest, if we're quite honest, we actually are fools, or we allow our sinful flesh to jump into that and hold on to that wisdom from below. And to that, we're called to repent. Jesus, the lowly one, your humble Lord, who rode into Jerusalem humble and lowly, riding on a donkey, not on a stallion, coming to take the city, but humble and lowly, going to the cross for you, willingly took on the messy results of your earthly wisdom upon himself. Your jealousy, your strife, your selfish ambition, all the resulting mess and bloodiness of your sin, he took upon himself all the way to the cross. And in his blood makes it white as snow. Your humble, lowly Lord says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm the one from whom you can learn humility and true wisdom. I am humble and lowly and heavily minded, and will give you that mind that I desire you to have. And so in Christ you have and continually live out the lowliness of heart as you walk by the Spirit. In Christ, peace, gentleness, reasonableness, mercy, and good fruits, impartiality, and sincerity become yours and are yours in Christ. And the result is a harvest of righteousness as Christ is working that through you. It's a new life in Christ. and baptized into him, it's yours. You're daily empowered by the Spirit. It's a life that perhaps we don't need to go far to find someone we might pattern our lives after, who is one who we notice is heavenly minded, whom one we might want to pattern our life after because they have that heavenly mind. And even in the scriptures, if we return to those, as we heard last week at the youth gathering, that great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, the Marthas and the Marys, the Abrahams and the Enochs, they might have different names. Might be Bill, might be Mary, might be Frida, might be something else. Those in the congregation of which we worship with, who we might pattern our lives after, because they have patterned their life after Christ, and they have been given that wisdom from above. And so we too seek that wisdom from above, that mindedness. Scripture says in Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. As the body of Christ, we're not alone. Brothers and sisters in Christ here with us now and who have gone before us can be patterns of what a heavenly-minded life looks like. But of course, daily we must walk in Christ. Walk in the true wisdom's meekness that comes through faith in Christ. And we fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder or author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we're rooted. That's where our heavenly-mindedness comes from. And so in him, wisdom is found. God grant that we daily are found in him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.